Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. I'm Bama John. I'm joined by Will Kay. In this episode, we're going to take a deeper dive into the huge Alabama win over Tennessee, 37-20, in our Upon Further Review episode. This game was a roller coaster ride. There were some huge swings in this game, some huge ups and downs. And the interesting thing is Tennessee's offensive stats were about equal to Alabama, but a few significant plays each way really determined the outcome as Tennessee got a beatdown in Bryant-Denny Stadium, and Alabama got a big win. All right, today is Sunday, October 19th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. Thank you for tuning in. We now have over 5,400 subscribers to the YouTube channel and still growing, heading to 10,000. If you're accessing us, please subscribe and hit the notify button. If you're listening to us on the various audio outlets for the podcast, please follow, like, subscribe. All right, Will Kay, first initial thoughts about this win and just your thoughts about the big win of Alabama over Tennessee on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a big win, fourth win against a ranked opponent in a row. I believe we, you know, with the new updated AP poll, we have two top 10 wins and four top 20 wins. That was the gauntlet part. I mean, you know, we still got a few games, LSU, Oklahoma, at Auburn, at South Carolina. So can't slow down at all, but it was a good game. You know, they did move the ball against us a good amount, but and our defense looked, you know, not great at times, but our red zone defense has been good this year. You know, two turnovers with Vanderbilt, turnover on downs against Georgia. You know, they were in the red zone like three times, counting the one at the end with two turnovers. So our red zone defense has looked really good. But there are still concerns that I have with stopping the run. And they put up a lot of stats, but I'll take it, a 17-point win.
Heck yeah. Hey, we are now 6-1 overall, six straight wins, 4-0 in the SEC, tied for the lead in the SEC, seven games into the season. If you told me we're going to be 6-1 and 4-0 in the SEC, I would have taken it. I think we're heading to an 11-1 season, 10-2 at worst. I love where we are. We're in control of our own destiny. We're on track to make both the SEC championship game and to make the playoffs. So I like where we are, but I do have concerns about our defense, and certainly the running game is not what we typically expect of an Alabama team, but this Alabama offense has been great in spite of the running game being subpar. But like you, I'm worried about our rushing defense. I'm also worried about how we give up chunk plays on pass plays at times. A little concerning. So a couple of thoughts I would throw out there. All right, what else?
Yeah, sometimes the scoreboard doesn't indicate how we played. Let's see, the last four games, we gave up 20 to Tennessee, 24 to Missouri, 14 to Vanderbilt, and 21 to Georgia. I mean, you look at those, you know, giving up that amount, you must think defense is, you know, pretty good. But we make the plays when they're needed. I will say that. We do make big plays on defense. It's just sometimes we give up big plays. But as long as we're outscoring them, no problem.
Yeah, and when it's really going to be a huge test is, and I'm going to say when, not if, when we get in the playoffs and you run up against a great defense like an Ohio State, And we're going to find out at Oklahoma. That's going to be a real test of how our offense does against a great defense. But when you run up a, when you run up against a great defense and we can't put up 35 points on the board, and you know, maybe we're held to 21, can we make those stops against an Ohio State team that has great receivers? What can we do against Indiana, which seems to have a high-powered offense? I'm worried about teams like that. But other than that, I think we can beat anybody. That's where our defense could get us into troubles, getting gashed. But I really like where we are. We're favored in all the remaining games, and we have a true Heisman contender that no one thought would be in the Heisman conversation at the beginning of the season. I love Ty. I love how he's playing. Let's jump into the stats in the game, but Ty still solidified his candidacy for the Heisman and to be in New York. And it's kind of funny, Diego Pavia did the same thing on Saturday as well, mm-hmm. getting a win against LSU. And even though they were slightly favored, I think a lot of people view that as an upset. And being a Vandy fan, I'm happy about that win. And to watch the Bengal Tigers, they're kind of swirling around the drain at this point. They're not flushed yet out of the playoffs.
I think if you go back to some of our preseason podcasts, you will find me saying that LSU was overrated to begin this year. Just saying.
I agree. And we're going to beat them here. They're not coming in here beating us. I'm more worried about Oklahoma.
Not with that offense, they're not.
No, I'm more worried about Oklahoma here than I am because of their great defense and because of John Mateer. But again, DeBoer, hey, he's undefeated at home still. Yep. Love that. Love that. All right, let's jump into the stats. What are some things that jumped out to you in this game? If we look at the individual stats first off.
That Ryan Williams had a better game. He's back. He made some good catches.
Good runs too.
Yep, good runs. But our run offense is still not great. Jam Miller just I don't know what it is. He's just like kind of dancing back there. I just think that it's fine if we keep winning, but you're gonna get to the playoff, like you said, and go up against Ohio State, maybe even in Indiana or whoever.
Texas has a great defense, too. If they somehow sneak in the playoffs, they got a great defense. But their offense.
We didn't – Ty likes to spread it around. So, we don't have, that Devontae Smith, Amari Cooper stat line from one receiver every week. It's like 60 here, 70 here. Somebody have like 30. He likes to spread it around. So, the stats might not, jump out at you from the receivers. But, he had 253, two touchdowns, about 65% completion percentage. So I'll take it.
He was great and no picks. And I don't you think that was a forward pass, not a turnover?
I don't know, actually. I think I might have thought that was actually a fumble. Okay. Like if another team did that, I probably would have said that's a fumble. So okay. I'll stick to it and say that was a fumble.
So other than that fumble play, I thought Ty had a great game. And to your point, he spread the ball around to eight receivers. He threw a pass to Daniel Hill. He threw a pass to Jam Miller. And he threw at least one pass to six receivers, one tight end and five receivers. And it was good to see Rico Scott get that pass for a touchdown. I thought that was huge. And I liked the way he went through two defenders to get into the end zone. So that was big. It was nice to see him out there making plays. And then Ryan didn't drop a single ball this time.
No.
He caught everything. And, I mean, he had some hard catches. Those were not easy catches. So hats off to Ryan Williams for being back. And then Germ is just Germ. He's just solid.
Yep.
On the running side,
not great.
Well, Jeremy Bernard had four carries for 49 yards. Daniel Hill had seven carries for 34 yards and a touchdown, so that wasn't bad. And then Ryan Williams had one run for 16 yards. But yeah, other than that, we had 120 yards rushing, and Ty had five carries for 8 yards, and I'm sure there were some sacks in there among those stats, but no, it wasn't. Our running backs, other than Daniel Hill, weren't that productive.
Nope.
But Ty had a great game. On the Tennessee side, Aguilar was pretty good. He was pretty good, 28 of 44. Fortunately, He had the pick six.
Yeah, that was big.
Because they shredded us down the field, and they were getting ready to go in and either kick a field goal or score, and it was either going to be 16-14 or 16-10 at the half. And thank goodness Xavien Brown was in position. Thank goodness he threw it just a little bit behind Kitzelman, and Xavien broke on it and just took it. And how'd you like that shoestring breakaway where the guy was about to grab his leg and he yanked his leg out and made it all the way to the end zone?
Yeah, because if he wouldn't have scored that, I mean, it would have still been big because they didn't score. You weren't really expecting, you know, an interception there.
Right.
It would have been a 7-point swing, but he made it a 14-point swing. I mean, that was just massive. It was 23-7.5. It could have easily been 16-14. That's big.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look at the final score. Look at the final score of the game. 37-20. So you take 7 away from us, 30, and you put 7 on them, and all of a sudden it's 30-27, and it's anybody's ball game. So
but it was a play. It was a good play that was made by Xavien Brown. It wasn't some lucky, you know, tip of the bounce. I mean, he read the, you know, it was a good defensive play, and he made it. So, I mean, right. I'm not going to call that lucky.
No, it was time, score. We knew they couldn't run the ball. We called a timeout before they did that, and we said, look, they're likely not going to run the ball here because if we stuff them, they don't have time to kick a field goal. So they said, they're likely going to throw the ball. You have to be prepared for them to run, but they're likely going to throw the ball. So great play by Xavien, and fortunately Aguilar, I don't know whether he could have completed that pass or not. I don't know if he had a margin just based on the way things. Could he have gotten the ball and it been caught for a touchdown? I'm not sure if he could have done that or if he could have looped it over instead of throwing it in a more direct line. If that was a play he could have made. But great play and way to get to the end zone because that put Tennessee in a big hole that they couldn't dig themselves out of, even though they put more points on the board. It was great. And Alabama's been really good at putting points on the board in the first half in all these games. And so getting that extra 7 points on the board and having that nice lead, I felt great until we came out in the second half and they scored immediately and we did nothing. And we'll talk about that later. But that was huge. That was huge. I didn't like how many rushing yards Tennessee put up on the board. And I thought both Sean Bishop and Star Thomas ran the ball well, and we didn't handle them well. As you had chunk plays, you had Bishop's 44-yard touchdown run. He got 2 touchdowns. And then you had Star Thomas pick up a big 19-yard chunk play in one of their drives that kept a drive alive when they got a score. We just seemed to be out of alignment and in the wrong defensive schemes at times and then just give up these chunk plays both on the run defense and on our pass defense. So that was kind of rough. And although we held Aguilar under his average, I think he was averaging over 300 yards per game. So we did hold him to 1 TD and only 268 yards. But
well, I mean, he threw the ball 44 times and completed 28 for 268 yards. I mean, it's not actually horrible.
No, he had a good game, and I mean, he showed why he's a good quarterback. And they certainly seem to be able to get receivers open in our zones. I don't know if you looked up, it's like, how'd that guy get open? I mean, it seemed like they were getting guys wide open in the
middle. So, who do you? I know it's like the last week of the year, but who do you think will be favored in Tennessee versus Vanderbilt?
I think Tennessee will because it's in Knoxville.
Okay.
I think that's the big separator, but let's see how Vandy does against Missouri. Let's see how Vandy does against Texas. Let's see how Tennessee does. I think Tennessee has to play Oklahoma. Hang on a second. Let me pull up Tennessee's remaining schedule here. Where is it? So Tennessee's got Oklahoma in Neyland Stadium. Tennessee goes to Florida, and then they've got Vanderbilt. So those are their only tough games, but they've got Vanderbilt. You know, if they had to go to Oklahoma, I think Tennessee might be in trouble if they had to go to Vanderbilt. But I think Tennessee's favored in their last 5 games, so Tennessee could easily go 10-2.
Yeah, Vanderbilt has Missouri, and they have Vanderbilt, Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee. So, we'll see how Vanderbilt does. They could run the table. I doubt it.
I think going to Tennessee is going to be a tough ask for them, but Pavia will cause that Tennessee defense fits. Yeah. And, yeah, it's going to be fun to see. I think Vandy's got a shot.
I think they go to Texas. They might lose to Texas. I know Arch Manning hasn't been great, but I still think Texas might beat them.
Well, and Texas has a really good defense, and how are they going to hold up against Diego Pavia's Houdini tricks? Mm-hmm. I mean, he does cause defensive fits. That's going to be a great battle. I really want to watch that game because you've got good on good, because Vanderbilt has a really good offense and Texas has a really good defense. And then Vanderbilt's defense is not that good and Texas has a bad offense. So you get good on good and bad on bad. So,
yep.
But you have to give Texas the edge because it's at Texas. And Texas is fighting for their playoff lives because they don't have any margin for error. Vanderbilt can lose a game and still make the playoffs because they've only got one loss versus Texas can't lose any more games or they're done.
Right.
Sayonara to them. So they're going to be highly motivated. Can they get better? I mean, if you look at the number of five stars on Texas's team versus the number of five stars on Vanderbilt's team, you'd say Texas would win that, but their offense has been so bad. And, Arch Manning has not lived up to the billing. I mean, if you're going to draft a quarterback right now, would you draft Arch or would you draft Diego Pavia?
Probably still Arch, actually.
Okay. Just off of potential?
Yeah. Diego Pavia, he won't pan out in the NFL, I don't think. I think Arch, you know, has the tools to do it. I wouldn't draft him in the first round, but I would draft him over Diego Pavia still.
I think if Diego Pavia doesn't go Johnny Manziel and he stays focused and he stays, you know,
I don't keeps think his nose clean. He does not have a strong arm, really.
But he's very accurate. And he can put the ball I think he could be another Baker Mayfield. I really do. Yeah. And I think he could certainly be a backup quarterback. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be great. Well, I think it's going to be fun to see. And if he picks up somewhere, I'm predicting he will be on an NFL roster next year. He might be a fifth round pick. He might be a sixth round pick. I mean, look at Dillon Gabriel. He's starting in the NFL. And I think Diego Pavia is as good or better than Dillon Gabriel. But I'm just making that prediction. But I get it on potential. You draft Arch on performance on the field right now. As a college quarterback, Diego's much better than Arch.
For now, yeah.
So it's going to be fun to see. All right. So any other thoughts as we just think about the individual stats and the team stats, Tennessee, Alabama?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, a couple of things I was going to say. I thought it was interesting that total. If you looked at total yards, you looked at first downs, and you looked at time of possession, so you would have thought this game would have easily been a one-score game or a three-point game because we had 373 total yards. Tennessee had 410. We had passing yards of 253. Tennessee had 268. Tennessee rushed for 142 yards. We had 120. They had 27 first downs. We only had 23. And on third down, we were 5 of 11. We're a little bit better than them. They were 5 of 13, but still pretty close. And they were 4 of 5 on fourth down, and we were 1 for 1. And penalty yards, they had 10 penalties for 66. We had 7 penalties for 59. And then time of possession was 31 to 29. You would have thought maybe Tennessee would have won or we would have won by 3 points. But it all comes down to Tennessee, I think, had a 91-yard drive to get to the one-yard line at the end of the half. And then we went pick six the other way. So that 14-point swing, and it was like those 91 yards that they had to get down to the one-yard line never happened. So it's amazing how one play can really erase what looked like a very even game.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was I cannot overemphasize what a huge swing that 14-point swing was right there. Great play by Xavien because I don't trust our team to have a goal line stand and to just stuff a team. I don't know if you saw Texas in overtime stuff Kentucky. And if you remember, Texas had four downs within, again, when they went to Ohio State, and Ohio State stuffed them, not only in the playoff last year, but in the first game this year to hold them out of the end zone. I don't trust our team in big games to have that kind of goal line stand where we stuff people, but yet we got the key takeaway when we needed to.
Right, yeah, that's been the story of this team. I think we give up a lot of yards, but we make plays when we need to. You know, Diego Pavia, he had two turnovers in the red zone.
Big.
We stopped Georgia on that fourth and like one play in the red zone. I mean,
the
that was
LT, the
call.
LT shoestring tackle.
Yeah, we stopped him there. Trying to think of anything else. I mean, you know, we get some interceptions against Missouri. A fumble against Georgia. You know, we make a lot of turnovers and we make big plays on defense.
Yeah, we had two.
We also give up a lot of yards.
Yes, yes. This is not your Nick Saban's Alabama defense. This is not your Kirby Smart Alabama defense. I don't love the schemes that Kane runs all the time. I think he gets too aggressive and gets our guys out of position. When he's not Brent Venables, and I've said this before, he's not Brent Venables, but he thinks he is. He thinks he's the master of the blitz, and then he'll dial up these blitzes, and then we'll get gashed by him. I think he's a much better defensive coordinator. When if he's going to blitz, you throw one guy in there, not three guys or two guys, and you stay with a very sound defense, but you just throw one extra guy in the blitz. I think we're much better when we play more sound defenses rather than, God, we're just going to bring the heat on this one, and we seem to get burned every time. So I don't like that, and I think if he would calm that down and take on – and he did this terribly against FSU. He's gotten better in the other games, but I still think he needs to tweak it and be more fundamentally sound even on his blitz schemes than he is. And I think that's where we get burned. That's my opinion. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, I agree. Sometimes the blitz just doesn't work. You shouldn't be blitzing on third down sometimes. But it works when it needs to. It's just sometimes we might run into a better team that might be ready for it. But no complaints so far.
Hey,
6-0 since Florida State, and Florida State has tanked. So they had their moment in the sun, but it's over now. And Mike Norvell might get fired.
He might get fired. And what's unfortunate about that is they knocked out Castellanos in that game. I don't know if you know that, but Castellanos got knocked out of the game, and then Florida had to finish the game with their second-string quarterback, and that really killed them. Because they had – like, we've got two really capable quarterbacks sitting on our bench. I don't want to lose Ty. Ty has been unbelievable this year. He's played himself into a first-round pick. He could be the Heisman candidate. But Florida State had no backup plan. They had no backup quarterback, and when Castellanos went down – their season just did this and just went down the drain. And you're right, Norvell might get fired. You saw that Napier got fired, right? Did you know that?
I did not see that. He did.
He got fired today. So another one on the chopping block, off with his head. He's done. So, you know, the carousel continues. I think Clark Lee is going to be a hot candidate for a lot of coaching jobs this year. I think watch out for Penn State. Watch out for Florida. And I think, how can you justify staying at Vanderbilt when you could go take over those programs?
I mean, Penn State might be hesitant to hire another Vanderbilt coach, but
they might. But
I think would you rather have
Vanderbilt's team this year, or would you rather have Penn State's team this year?
Vanderbilt's for sure.
So yeah, the
Penn State lost again.
I know. Unbelievable.
They might not make a bowl game. I mean, they're just
– Drew Aller's out, though, so he's done for the season. So their season went down the toilet when he went out. So I hate that for him, too. But
I think it went down the toilet when they lost to UCLA.
Oh, yeah. That was – hey, UCLA won again this weekend.
Hey, there you go. Jerry Neuhausel's doing something over there.
Yeah. And, UAB won. UAB beat Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is UCLA 3-4 now? They win 3 in a row?
Yes. Uh-huh. Wow.
Jerry Neuhausel might have a job over there.
Or the guy that's the head coach might get that. I think his last name still might get the head coaching. And then Neuhausel's going to be a hot OC candidate out in the market. So That's kind of fun. All right, let's go through the game drives. I just want to, you know, play along with me for a minute. So I loved this sequence. Tennessee comes out and they go three and out, and somehow we get three and out and we get the ball. And I'm thinking, all right, here we go, baby. Then we get the ball and we get pinned on our own 9-yard line. I don't know if you remember Cole Adams caught that ball and went backwards. I'm like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
And then 11 plays, 91 yards. We chew up 6 minutes on the clock. And Bama, do you remember they convert a key first third down to Quavis over the middle, and then he makes the first down. And then we convert on third down. It was third and goal, and that pass to Horton. I'm like, all right, baby, there we go. That opening drive again, we go down, have a nice drive. And we've done this every game, nice drive down the field, put it in for seven, except for Vanderbilt, which is where we got that interception. But I loved it. And then Tennessee comes out, and we get them to punt again. They had 10 plays, but with some penalties and things, they punt. And so we take over again. And all of a sudden, we're into the second quarter, and we're up 7-0. I'm feeling good about it. All right, any comments on the start of that game and kind of how it played out?
Yeah, it was a good start to the game. Unlike Vanderbilt and Missouri, you know, stop them and then go 91 yards. And then later in the game, we go 99 yards. Go 99 yards twice with that interception.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it was good. 37 points is pretty good. That safety was awesome. You know.
So, let me jump into the second quarter now. So, then that's the end of the first quarter. So, we get the ball after we've held Tennessee and forced them to punt twice. We get the ball. We go six plays, 30 yards, and then we have to punt. I think we had a penalty, got behind the sticks, weren't able to convert on third down, so we punt it. And then we put Tennessee back on their own 22. And then here comes Tennessee. High power, because I expected this to be a high-scoring game. I thought Tennessee would score at least 28 to 32 points. I thought they were going to get in that 30 range for sure. And then here they come. And this was a methodical 10-play, 78-yard drive. They ate up 4 minutes on the clock. They had one chunk play. Tennessee hit Brandon Staley across the middle for a 30-yard chunk play where he just comes over and gets open, and they get down to the 2-yard line, and you know, then they score. But then we're like, okay, now we're in a dogfight. And our defense got shredded on that drive. I don't know if you remember that first drive, but I'm like, oh, gosh, doesn't look good.
Nope.
So that's where we were there. And then we go three plays and punt. But the good thing was on that punt, we got Tennessee backed up in their own side of the field. I think they had it on about the 18 or 20. And then they got some negative plays, and that's when we get the sack. And I'm like, yes, because we got him. He threw that intentional grounding in the end zone. They call the safety on him, and we get the sack in the end zone and get the safety. And then we get, and then we do what we do, which we're great. We do another methodical drive, 69 yards. Actually, it was only 3 minutes on this play. It was seven plays in 3 minutes. So I take that back. We had two big chunk plays on this drive where he came out. So we're up 9-7 after that sack. And any further thoughts on that drive where we got the sack and stuffed Tennessee and got the safety?
Yeah, that was big because that sack turned into another touchdown, which is what you will be getting into next. But, you know, that play, I mean, not as big as the interception, but that was a big play too. That and the interception were the two biggest plays, defensive plays. Yanze Pierre had three sacks. Did he have three?
Yeah.
In the first quarter, I think he had three.
Yeah, he was big.
So we got to the quarterback. I don't think Ty got sacked once. I think they had zero sacks. So that's good. And we had less penalties than them. That's a rare thing for
this amazing
team. But yeah, that sack was big.
Hey, and to your point, even though Ty didn't get sacked at all, he was under a lot of pressure, and he made a lot of key movements in the pocket, scrambling around. to either throw the ball away or get the ball out, except for one play where he made that stupid pass to the middle where he tried to hit Quavis. And he got criticized by McElroy on that. He's lucky he didn't get an interception there. So that was that was very fortunate. But, yes, Ty did a great job of scrambling and then finding open guys and putting the ball down the field when he had a lot of heat on him. He didn't have clean pockets a lot. They got a lot of heat on us. Our right tackle got beat some. It was kind of a rough outing from that standpoint, but very effective. Ty was effective. So then we get the ball, seven plays, and there were two big chunk plays. There was a 28-yard pass to Germ, and then there was a 25-yard pass to Lots Brooks, and then that gets us down into the red zone, and then Jam scores on a one-yard run. So that was a huge drive to go up 16-7, and we're deep into the second quarter there, and then Tennessee gets the ball. Methodical drive, 15 plays, 74 yards, and they're just chewing clock and just moving the ball down the field and picking us apart, and our defense just can't seem to do anything, and then we come up huge.
Yep.
And that 14-point swing.
Oh, yeah, it was everything. I mean, it was, you were kind of thinking, oh, they're going to score here. Make it a 2-point game. We get the ball in the second half. And then all of a sudden it's 23-7, and we get the ball in the second half. And it's like just a huge – I mean, that's just demoralizing for them right before half, too. I mean, that probably flattened them a little bit. I mean, that was just pretty demoralizing.
I'll give Tennessee credit for coming out, because I thought they fought really hard in the second half, and I thought they were still in the game till we scored that last touchdown. I still thought they had hope. I think we were up 30-20 when we scored that last touchdown, and I thought they had hope at that point. So I give them credit for not giving up, because a lot of teams with that would have just quit. And, we might have won 45-15 or, just some blowout score. So I give them credit for that. But what a huge play. Because I'm thinking, to me, the best scenario was hold them to a field goal. That's all I'm thinking is let's go in 16-10. I do not want to go in 16-14 with them having the momentum. And then we go in 23-7, and I'm going nuts. I'm screaming. I don't know what you guys were doing while you were watching the game, but I'm going nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm screaming and going crazy. And so I'm feeling really good coming out of the half. And then what do? Three plays and punt.
Yep.
It was just bad plays. We just didn't get anything going. At least we didn't take a negative play in terms of, getting a potential safety or, fumbling the ball and they have a short field. But then Tennessee gets the ball back, and boom, what happens? We give up the huge chunk run play to Deshaun Bishop. And here's what I wrote down is we had poor alignment on defense, and then we had poor tackling and poor angles by the secondary. But if you look at the alignment we were in, UT made the right call to run the ball. If they didn't call a running play ahead of time, they should have audibled into it immediately, because our defense was set up to get gashed. And then our secondary just didn't look like they wanted to try to tackle at all. I thought that was an embarrassing alignment defensively, and I thought it was also embarrassing execution by our secondary to not even make a good attempt to tackle him. It was bad from my standpoint. Thoughts?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And that was just a huge play, huge chunk play, 44 yards. Bishop takes it to the house. And then I'm like, oh, gosh, what are we doing here? And then
I still wasn't worried, but, there's too many of those big runs happening. It's Georgia. Vanderbilt had a few.
Cedric Alexander, went right up the seam on that right side.
Mean, just at the second level, just not filling the gaps correctly.
Well, but some of it was not having guys in the right alignment to be in position to fill the gaps. And that's where Kane drives me crazy is, okay, let's say you've got 60 snaps on offense and you're in great position on 50 of them. Those 10 snaps where you're out of alignment can get you beat. And that's what worries me, is we've got to cut that down to where we're not in bad alignments on any play. And I understand you want to blitz some and you want to try to confuse them, but I think we get in bad alignments on too many plays where we give up big chunk plays. And if we had been in better defensive alignment, we wouldn't have gotten shredded like that. So it bothers me. And I still think we can win the SEC championship. I still think we can win the national championship. I think we can beat any team out there. But when we get beaten, or if we get beaten sometime the rest of the season, that's going to be our Achilles heel, is bad defensive alignments, and we get roasted and give up one too many chunk plays to lose. So that's what I'm worried about. So then we come out, nine plays, and we get that fumble. You know, was it a forward pass? Was it not? And as you said, you thought he probably lost the ball before the forward motion. I was hoping they would overturn it. And then I'm like, oh, gosh, we're in trouble. They're going to go down and score again, and next thing you know, it's going to be a three-point game. And then what do we do? What does the defense do? Five plays, and we force a punt out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, yes, we forced a punt, but then what happens? We're on our 1 yard line. They put us on our own 1 yard line. And this is where I love Ty Simpson and Ryan Grubb and their ability in these scenarios to go 99 yards in nine plays, eating 5 minutes on the clock. I mean, how huge was that?
Big time.
Huge. And I wrote down there were six key plays on this drive that got us in the end zone. First, there was a 14-yard pass to Ryan Williams for a first down, and he made some great catches that were not easy catches. He didn't drop any balls. Huge. So you had a 15-yard pass to Ryan, then you had a 14-yard pass to Ryan, first down. Then you had a 15-yard pass to Cuevas, first down. You had an 18-yard run to Germ where they did one of those running plays. You remember when he did the reverse spin?
Yeah, I thought he was about to get tackled for like negative 10 yards or something.
Incredible play. So then Germ gets that first down on that gadgety run play, which I love. Then 16-yard pass play to Daniel Hill out of the backfield, first down. 17-yard pass to Germ, first down. Then we're in business in the red zone. Then we score on that 11-yard pass to Rico Scott, where he ran through two defenders, pay dirt, baby. That was huge. And then I'm like, okay, we got this thing. I felt really good when we did that 99-yard, and that punched it up to 30-13. I'm like, we got this, baby. We got this. Thoughts on that drive, what happened there?
Oh, yeah. I always like to have a three-possession lead. That might be a little selfish of me, but I don't know. I was still just – I just don't want all the – I've just seen crazy stuff happen, you know. I just want the clock to run. I just want it to run when I'm up two possessions or three possessions. And then I don't like the two-minute timeout. That always – because it gives them an extra timeout. Let's just – I like to have the ball with under 2 minutes, just knee it, get out of there.
Well, but when we're behind, I like the 2 minute timeout. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. So which is it? But that brought us to the fourth quarter. So that 99-yard drive killed us, and then we're in the fourth quarter, and we go into the fourth quarter up 30-13. Tennessee gets the ball. And boy, did they respond. This is where I thought Tennessee, I mean, they responded. They put two touchdowns on the board, made us have to sweat the game out. Hats off to them. It was a 13-play drive for 75 yards. They ate 4 minutes and 30 seconds off the clock, which that was actually to our benefit that it took them that long to score. We gave up a big chunk play, a 22-yard run to Bishop. Other than that, Tennessee was just getting 6 yards here, 8 yards there, 4 yards, but they just kept moving the chains, and we couldn't stop them. And I don't know if our defense was just gashed, or we're just kind of in a bend but break mode, or we relaxed a little bit because we had such a big lead, but they did. They shoved it down our throat, pushed it down, punched it in the end zone. I'm like, ugh. Now I wasn't breathing easy after that because there were still – I think there were still about 8 minutes or maybe even 9 minutes left on the clock when they scored. So I was sweating it at that point.
Oh yeah, I that Daniel Hill touchdown was needed.
So then now it's 30-20, and Alabama, what do they do? They respond again. 10 plays, 75 yards, 75 yards, 5 minutes. And when we scored that touchdown to go up 37-20, to me, that was nail in the coffin. I'm like, it's over. It's done. We'd have to have the ultimate choke job to blow that lead. And on that, what's interesting about that drive that we had two first downs off of pass interference calls. So that we had Ryan and Germ and Lottie Brooks and those guys had scared them so much that they were doing. They were holding and they were grabbing and clutching and thank goodness the referees called that. We probably wouldn't have gotten those calls had we been in Neyland Stadium. But and then Lotz Brooks gets a nice 10-yard run and a 13-yard run, and then he scores on a 4-yard run. So Daniel Hill asserted himself in that drive as well. And to me, it was game over. I was still sweating it because, you know, what if they score twice and we do something stupid? But I felt at that point game was over. Thoughts there?
Yeah, once we went up 17, it was pretty much over.
And then the nice thing, Tennessee gets the ball. I'm thinking, oh, they're going to go down and score again. And they went – they had 9 plays, 59 yards, but they turned the ball over on downs. Then we did nothing on offense, but we didn't need to, and they had to burn clock and punt it. And then it was nice not to give up that score on their last drive. I know
I think the score looked a little better.
Yeah, it did. It did. But, I mean, legitimately, had they scored at the end, that would have represented what a close game it was, because I really felt that even though on the scoreboard it looked like a blowout, it was a close, highly contested game. Tennessee's a good team. We're better than they are, but they're a good team. It wouldn't surprise me if they go 10-2 and make the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see them in the SEC championship. I think we're likely going to see Ole Miss, Georgia, Texas A&M.
Yeah, I don't think the two SEC champions will have two SEC losses.
Right.
So for now, it is us and Texas A&M.
So, and that gets me to the standings. It's really interesting at this point. So if you look at the standings, there are 8 teams with either no losses or 1 loss. So if Texas runs the table, you know, they could put a loss on Texas A&M. They could put a loss on Vanderbilt. They could put a loss on Georgia. Texas could end up – they have to get hot. And the way they're playing, I don't think it's possible for them to do that. But Texas could make the SEC championship game. Same thing about Oklahoma. Oklahoma gets hot here. They're 6-1. They're 2-1. Oklahoma runs the tables, and they've got it all in front of them. They could end up in the SEC championship. Vanderbilt, we've already talked about that. They got a tough road, but they could somehow win all their remaining SEC.
Yeah, some games. Of these teams play each other though, and it'll even out. Like Missouri and Vanderbilt, they
yeah.
play. Tennessee plays Oklahoma. We play Oklahoma. Texas A&M plays Texas. It'll even out a little bit, and it'll, you know.
Well, right. Their teams are going to eliminate each other. But I'm saying any one of these 8 teams could end up in the SEC championship. So they're not eliminated yet, but I think based on the way Texas is playing, I don't think they're going to make to that. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs either. I don't know what your thought is about Texas, but I don't think their offense is good enough to make it. And I don't.
No, they'd have to run the table.
Right, and I don't see them. I don't see their offense progressing enough during the season to be able to do that and make the playoffs. I just think they're done. Oklahoma. We're going to beat them. We're going to give them a second loss. I'm confident of that. Oklahoma.
Who?
Oklahoma. We're going to beat Oklahoma here. The war doesn't lose at home. That's my prediction. We're going to beat Oklahoma. So we're going to put a loss on them. Missouri and Ole Miss have pretty easy schedules. They could end up 7-1. Either one of them could end up 7-1 somehow and being in position. But you know, Tennessee, is Tennessee going to beat Missouri? Because it isn't Missouri. Is that right? Missouri, Tennessee? Maybe not.
Yeah, I mean Texas A&M, if they keep winning, they're a lock, and then if we keep winning, that's just what it's going to be.
Right. And if Ole Miss wins out, they could end up at 7-1. And I think Ole Miss has got a pretty easy schedule coming up. But anyway, point is, there's still a lot of football to play. We know who's eliminated. Those bottom eight teams. LSU's not making the SEC championship. LSU's not making the playoffs. Tennessee can make the playoffs, but they're not making the SEC championship. I just Tennessee's got two losses. They're not doing it. Florida's not making the playoffs, and there's no way they're going to get hot after firing their coach and go on a big run and do that. But with these top eight teams, a lot can still happen, and there's possibility for a surprise of like Vanderbilt or Missouri or Oklahoma making the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
And I kind
Had
of think five. Do you think five SEC teams are going to make the playoffs? I think five will.
Oh yeah. Probably. Maybe more.
Yeah. Do you think Texas A&M is going to run the table and go 12 and 0?
I know it's not a popular pick, and they haven't looked good, but I could see them losing to Texas because that's a big rivalry. It's in Austin. I could see them losing to Texas. I don't know who else is on their schedule. I know they beat Notre Dame, they beat Auburn. Who else do they play? Do they play Oklahoma?
Good question. I don't know. We'd have to pull the schedule
Like
up.
they kind of play some bottom dwellers, Kentucky, Auburn, Arkansas, Mississippi State,
Yeah.
South Carolina.
And remember, Texas has to go to Georgia.
Yep.
And I think Georgia's going to beat them. I think Georgia's offense can put up enough points, even though they'll struggle to score, they can put up enough points to beat Texas in probably a 17-14 or 20-17 game.
Yep.
Because I just don't think Arch and that offense, unless they really come together, I think Texas is out. I think Vanderbilt is going to end up 9-3. I think that's the likely scenario for Vanderbilt. I think Missouri and Tennessee can both end up 10-2.
Yeah.
And I think Ole Miss is going to end up 10-2 or 11-1. Georgia, here's the thing about Georgia, they still got to play Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech may be undefeated when they play them.
Florida State for the toilet bowl.
Yeah, we'll skip that. All right, let's go through a couple of upsets this weekend and just your thoughts on that. Miami loses to Louisville.
Carson Beck threw four interceptions. He is out of the Heisman race for now after that.
He is. How about Louisville as a potential ACC champion?
Yeah, they're in it now. They're 5-1,
Five
maybe.
and one. Both teams are 5-1. Georgia Tech is 7-0, and Virginia, I believe, is 5-1 or 6-1. So
Yeah.
it looks like it's Miami, Louisville, Georgia Tech, and Virginia all vying for the ACC to see who's
Yep.
going to make that
Yep.
championship
Clemson
game.
lost again.
Yeah, Clemson is just, again, Clemson, Penn State, horrible. The way Florida, South Carolina, those teams are really spiraling downward.
Yep.
Nebraska loses to Minnesota. I was surprised. Nebraska's now 5-2. I think Nebraska's done.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Dylan
I,
Riley
that,
is
they
done.
can't run the table. They can't win five games and go 10-2.
Nope.
I think they're done. How about Texas Tech? I thought they were the run. I thought Texas Tech was going to go undefeated and gonna win the Big 12 and go 13-0 into the playoffs.
Nope.
Hey, and that leaves the Big 12 wide open. And I think by Tech losing to Arizona State, I just think the Big 12 is a one bid league. I think whoever
Yeah.
wins the championship is going to get in there, and no other team's going to make it.
You think ACC is a one bid?
I think if Miami goes 11-1 and Georgia Tech goes 12-0,
There'll be two.
both are going to make it.
That means Georgia Tech would have to beat Georgia.
Correct.
Yeah.
But if they beat Georgia, they're in. If they go 12-0. But the question becomes, if you get a Miami, say you get a Miami Louisville rematch and they're both 11-1. Or you get Miami at 11-1 and Virginia at 11-1, do they both get in? Maybe. You have to look at strength of schedule and all of that kind of thing. But
yeah,
I'm thinking
now there's I think that this playoff race is going to be very tight, and I don't see Notre Dame getting in there.
See, maybe. A lot of people think by beating USC, and I've got that next on the list to talk about. USC loses to Notre Dame. I think USC's cooked. I think they're going to lose another game or two. They're out of the playoff contention. But a lot of people think that as long as Notre Dame runs the table and just runs it up on everybody, because their only losses are to Texas A&M, who may end up undefeated or with one loss, and loses to Miami at Miami. And both of those losses were by a total of 4 points, 3 to Miami and 1 point to Texas A&M, that if Notre Dame runs the table, they'll make it. I don't think their strength of schedule should warrant.
They're going to take somebody's spot who they shouldn't.
I agree with that. But I think a lot of people think they're going to make it. So that's going to be – I'm just hoping somebody else beats Notre Dame, and then we don't have to worry about that. But yeah. I think Notre Dame is going to sneak in. That would probably put them at the 10 seed or the 11 seed or the 12 seed if they go in, because their strength of schedule is weak, but I think they may sneak in at the back end. BYU beat Utah, and BYU remains undefeated. Utah's done. They're out. But if BYU, let's say BYU goes undefeated and they play Texas Tech with one loss and Tech beats them, do you take them both? Could you have a 12-1 BYU and a 12-1 Texas Tech and put them both in?
Yeah.
I hate that, because I think the strength of schedule is going to be bad for both of them, but I think you might be right. So I'm hoping this Big 12 beats up on each other and you end up with a bunch of 2-loss and 3-loss teams. Vandy beats LSU. I loved it, loved it, loved it. That made my day. Loved watching that win. Grew up a Vandy fan. You know I love to root for Vandy when they're not playing Bama. So happy to see that. I'm just hoping Vandy can gear up and go to Knoxville and beat Tennessee and knock Tennessee out of the playoffs. Because a 3-loss Tennessee is done.
Think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 3-loss Tennessee is not going to make it in the playoffs. I think their goose would be cooked. And then UAB beat Memphis. I'm happy for UAB to get that win. So that's it. Alabama's got the 5th best odds to make the playoffs. Ohio State's got the best odds. I'm shocked at this, but right now Miami and Oregon still have better odds than Indiana to make the playoffs and better odds than Alabama. I guess their strength of wins have been good enough, but I can't see Miami being seeded above Alabama. I can't see Oregon being seeded above Alabama. Obviously, Ohio State and Indiana being undefeated. Yeah, I understand where they are. This doesn't make sense to me. LSU's got the 11th best odds to make the playoffs ahead of an undefeated Georgia Tech. I'm not buying LSU like you. I think they're going to lose 3 or 4 games.
I think it'll be very SEC heavy. And then Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon. And then, you know, one group of 5 and then Big 12. And then ACC.
Yeah. So, do you think the Big 12 is only going to get 3 in?
The Big 10, you mean?
I mean Big 10, yeah, Big 10. Do you think the Big 10 is only going to get 3 in?
Yeah, who else is vying for a spot?
I don't think anybody else deserves
it. It's Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon. I don't think Michigan will get in.
Well, USC's only got 2 losses. If they run the table, they could get in. I think Nebraska, that was their 2nd loss. But again, I don't think they deserve to get in. So let me look at here. Michigan's 5-2. Illinois's 5-2. Other than that, I mean, do you take it? But see, Michigan's going to lose to Ohio State, so they're going to have a third loss. I just
I think it's still
don't.
hard to kind of project right now because all these teams play each other, and teams lose to teams that they're not supposed to. We're doing chalk right now. Somebody might, I mean, Penn State lost to UCLA and Northwestern back-to-back weeks.
Crazy.
You
It's crazy.
never know. I mean, you never know. Alabama could lose to South Carolina this weekend. I hope not.
Well, they better be up for that game and ready to go because we can afford one more loss. We got that is our margin. So, I think a 10-2 Alabama team, if they finish 10-2s in the playoffs, no questions asked. 9-3, I don't think so. I hope so, but I don't think so. But good news is we're favored in our last five games. Good news is DeBoer, this team's proved itself to fight every week. And I'm not saying they play perfect football. Tell me this. I don't think we've played an A or A plus game yet. I don't think any of these wins we've had, I would grade us as an A or A plus in the way we played. I think
But we've
we can
won.
play better football. I think that's the nice thing is this team can play better. There's a lot of mistakes I see on the field that they can clean up, and if they can clean those things up, and reach that A minus to A level, they can win a natty. So I like that. I think we're really talented. I think we're really good. So that was the point I was going to make is we keep winning these games, and we're not playing a clean A game. To me, most of these games we've played a B plus level, these wins we've had. So I like that fact that we're winning without playing our best.
Oh yeah, we could definitely play better.
So, all right, parting shots. Any other further thoughts as we close this one up?
Another good win. I always love to beat Tennessee. Glad we got him out of the way and could get a W with him. I'm glad we got Vanderbilt out of the way too. I mean, I don't really want to play them again. But always good to win the third Saturday in October. Got to be ready for South Carolina next week.
Yep, we got to go to South Carolina, take care of business. Come on, DeBoer, 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 DeBoer. We
It's
love Kalen
an
DeBoer.
unranked road game. We you never know.
Yep. I think FSU got this team's attention. I think these guys know they can't take any team for granted, particularly on the road. I hope they hear the noise that they don't play well on the road, and I hope they take that as a challenge to be ready to go and go to Columbia. Get a huge win, then they get a week off, then they get LSU. Love it. All right, any other thoughts?
Nope.
All right, thank you for listening. Subscribe, follow, like, and hit the notify button wherever you listen to the podcast, or if you watch us on YouTube, please do that. God bless and roll tide.
Roll Tide.